fancy Ethan being pied in the face. I bet that was hilarious. Should we do it again? Should we go again? Maybe later. Okay, so as Melissa said, my name's Becca and I live 5 minutes down the road in Park Barn. Anyone else here live in Park Barn? Ah, oh, there we go. I'll have to represent them solo. Now, I live with my friends James and Michelle and their 3 kids and our 14 chickens, 3 fish and Mr. Tabs, the 18-year-old totally deaf cat. Now, I want to tell you 3 things that I absolutely love. I love making things. Who likes making things? I'm a potter. I like making things out of clay. I also love my cat, Mr. Tabs. Anybody else have a cat here? Wow. Dog people? Dogs, maybe? Fish? Chickens? Anyone? Oh, we do have some. There you go. But they're okay, but I prefer Mr. Tabs the cat. But there is something I've loved since I was a very little girl. Cake. I love cake. But there is something that I do not love, and that is running. Do not let yourself be deceived here. I do not love running. I absolutely do not like it one bit. Who likes running here? Any runners in the house? Yeah, there you go. Any grown-up runners in the place who like running? Awesome. Okay, well, I just thought that we might start with a little race. So who would like this cream egg?
Me.
There you go. Good job. You won the race. Great job. There you go. You'll be watching out next time. Well done. Okay, so how about another one? Melissa's got an egg at the back. Go get it. There you go. Very simple things. All right. Good job. And I'll be listening out. There might be more opportunities. Okay, so as you already know, I do not love running. I don't love how hot and sweaty you get. I don't love how unfit I am and how unfit I realize I am. I do not like having to have another shower. I just don't like it. But as you know, I really, really love cake. Now things, you know, we need balance in life. And so about a year ago, I realized that if I was going to continue loving cake, I probably needed to do something for my health. So I thought, right, I'm going to take up a little bit of running. I don't like it, but I reckon I can try. So I started running very slowly. Like people would overtake me walking level of slow. It was pretty tragic. Around Park Barn, 1 little lap, about a kilometer and a half, and I think I nearly died, honestly. It was awful. But I kept going twice a week on hair wash day. Don't have to have another shower, check. And now, in a whole year, I've made it up to 2.5K. I'm serious, I'm so proud of myself. And it still feels like death. One day, and I'm not kidding here, my marathon would be a park run. And I might get there. And you runners will say, oh, you're nearly there. You don't know. I'm not. But one day. But I reckon that there are some people here who really do like running. And I would like to find out who in this room has run the furthest. So we are going to start out very small. And if it's you, I would like you to put your hand up and then keep it up until it's not you. Who here has had a runny nose? Okay. Okay, we're all good there. I think we're good. I think we've probably all had a runny nose. Who here has run a bath? Oh, wow. Okay. Very good. Well done, everyone. Who's run for a bus? Most of us. Very good. Right, now let's get serious. Who has done a park run? Oh, run 5K. Who has run 10K? Half a marathon? Has anybody... Okay, half marathon is a long way. Has anybody here run a whole marathon? Oh, my goodness. Okay, we've got some serious contenders. Have you? Has anybody ever run an ultra marathon? So longer than... No way, this is crazy. Okay, right. Now, where's the microphone? We're going to find out who has run the furthest. So keep your hand up. Who has run an ultra marathon? How far did you run, Liz? 50K. Oh, my goodness. All right. And who is it over here? How far have you gone? 32 miles. Oh, which one's further of that? 50K? Okay, Liz, here you go. You are going to get this cream egg. But would you rather have a carrot? What would you rather have? I don't know. I mean, how do runners go? Cream eggs? Very good. Would anyone like the carrot? Come get it. Good job. Well done, everybody. Right. Surprising what kids will do for a race, honestly. All right. Now, that's very important information we have. So Liz has run 50K. That is the furthest in the room, I believe. Anybody run further than that, just to check? In one go? Maybe not. Maybe one day. But you... 52? Wow, my goodness. Well, kids just run. We've already seen that. They will run for the smallest thing. I have 7 godchildren and they love to race. And you know what's crazy? They always beat me. Isn't that crazy? It's amazing how that happens. They always beat me. But grown-ups are much more sensible. We only run when we have to. We run, we're tireder, we're slower. And we just basically walk, or if we have a car, we drive most places. We need a really good reason to run, like we love cake, or we love cream egg, or we love our health. We love not having to wait for the next bus at the Friary. We love the child who's about to run in front of the bus at the Friary. We love the Strava kudos. I'm quite new to this. Haven't got much, but, you know, I enjoy the thought of it. We run to gain something, to get our jeans to fit again, to get a medal, or to get a cream egg. Anybody want a cream egg? Right, go, go. Oh, you wanted the cream egg. Why am I talking about running? Well, because Jesus has just told us a story about 2 runners. The one who runs away, and the one who runs to bring that runner back home again. And I'm going to let you in on a spoiler, what the story behind the story was. We are all the one that ran away. And Jesus is the one that runs to bring us home again. So keep that in your mind as we're exploring. Now, kids, I wonder, who is the naughty kid in your class? There's usually one, isn't there? Maybe you're the naughty kid in your class. I don't know. The boy in this story was not just a little bit naughty, not just like, huh, he's quite naughty, funny naughty, really mean. Selfish. He did not care what anybody thought. If he wanted something, he was going to go and get it. And I don't know if you guys heard, but one day he went to his dad with a really sad, bad, horrible thought. He said, I want you to divide up the house, sell what you have to sell, so that anything you would get after you die, I can have now. Anything I would get. I want you to give me what I would get if you weren't here. Can you believe it? It's so heartbreaking, isn't it? But what did his father do? And this might not always be the right thing to do, just to say, this might not always be the loving thing to do, but in this scenario, he gave the son what he asked for. He loved his son so much that he let him run away. He didn't make him stay, didn't force him. He let him treat him like a vending machine. Broke his heart as he watched his son run away from home and throw away all the beautiful things that he'd worked so hard for. That was runner number one. The son who ran away, and we don't really know why he did it. We don't really know why kids love to run. I don't, anyway. Sometimes kids just run, I guess. But who was the other runner? Who's the other runner, guys? The dad. Jesus, always the answer. Very good. Hold that thought. Have you ever noticed that when someone is mean to your friend, sometimes you can seem to be even angrier than your friend? Have you ever noticed that? They're like, it's fine, I know they pushed me over, but you're like, I'm going to get you, I'm going to tell the teacher and you're going to pay. I feel that way. And that is how the rest of the town would have felt. All these years since that awful boy, you know, they talk about him behind their back, I'll tell you what I'm going to do to him. He's never coming in my shop again. Better stay far, far away. And one day, a woman is working in her field, we can imagine, and she looks up and guess who it is? It's that horrible boy. So she dashes off to tell the town. This is the moment they'd been waiting for. That boy is finally going to pay. But someone else had seen the boy too. Do we remember from our story who else had seen the boy coming from far away? His dad. Yeah, the dad, well done. And before anybody could stop him or hold him back, he starts to run. He runs and runs and runs and runs. He runs faster than anyone has ever run in that town before to get to his son before anybody else could grab him and haul him away. And when he reaches his naughty little, now fully grown boy, what does he do? What did he do? Do you remember? He grabbed him and he kissed him all over, didn't he? And in the meantime, we can imagine, because we know next he says something to his servants, that his servants have arrived. The town has arrived and they've got rotten tomatoes and they've got maybe stones and mud to throw at this boy. They've got handcuffs to put him in prison, take him away from what he's done. But what can they do? Because his dad got there first. And what did he say? He said, it's party time. I mean, everyone loves a party, so that's going to change people's minds. But it's this crazy story. I thought he was dead, but he is alive. I thought he was lost, but he's back. So guys, why did the dad run? Did he just absolutely love running? Was he trying to get fit? Was he running for a bus? Or a cream egg? Oh, well done. That is the last one, so just so you know. But we've got some other stuff coming up. No. Why did he run? He ran for love. Not love of cake, like me. He ran to bring his son home again. Did you know God is a runner? An ultra, ultra marathon runner. I know Liz ran 50K, which is crazy to me. It's just like beyond. But there is someone who ran so much further than anyone else in this room, anyone in the world ever could. God ran from heaven to earth to bring us home again. God ran to Mary's womb. Remember the story at Christmas? He left his home and became a human man. Jesus, the grown man, ran to everybody like that boy that everybody was rejecting and hated. He healed them. He rescued them. He brought them back into the community again. And then when the time was ready, he ran to the cross and gave his life. He ran to hell and back again to bring us home to his Father. And today he is still running down your road to bring you home. That's why Jesus told the story of this runaway, awful boy and his running dad. It is the story of Jesus himself who came to earth, who lived and died and rose again so that he could bring us home to his amazing daddy God. I wonder, what is the most valuable thing that you own? For me, it is this. This is a ring that my granny gave me. Lovely ring, see? She gave me just before she died a few years ago. It's a beautiful ring. It's made of white gold. It's got an aquamarine in the middle. It's got some diamonds. And it's not monetarily as valuable as maybe some other people's rings, things like that. But to me, it is the most valuable thing I own. I think it's actually the most expensive thing I own as well, to be honest. My car is definitely on its last legs, but it is the most valuable thing I own. I would sell anything. I would not sell it for any amount of money. Now, I've got something here. Anyone remember how many chickens I've got? 14. We did have 18 at the start of the week. We're not quite sure what happened, to be honest, but you know, well, there we go. The herrings are away. I'll tell them later. It's all good. Anyway, we have got here, and you know, if anybody wants to come and have a look, you're very, very welcome to. I'm going to be very careful here. If anyone wants to have a smell, do you want to have a smell? What do you think? No. What do you think? Nice. This here is. This is gross. This is mud from our chicken run that I got this morning. It is full of chicken poo and straw and rotten vegetables and fruit from like leftover food this week that we throw to them. It truly is. I'm not pretending. It's disgusting, isn't it? Does it smell bad? What do you think? Is it nice? Now, this is the closest I can get to what that boy would have been covered in. It's like, this is chicken manure, not pig manure, but close enough. Now, if I take this ring, this absolutely precious, most beautiful thing that I own, and I bury it in this absolutely disgusting, this disgusting poo. Yeah, it's actually in there. Is this ring worth any less money?
No.
Do you want it?
No.
No. Well, I want it. I love it. It is the most precious thing I own. It's just, it smells so bad, and it breaks my heart that it's disgusting like that. But underneath it is still the precious, beautiful, priceless ring that I would run anywhere in the world to bring back if I lost it. All it needs is a good clean, maybe a bit of perfume or something later on, and it's back to the beautiful treasure. No, you can't have it because it's mine. This beautiful, precious thing that belongs to me, that is mine for always and ever, belongs to me.
I want the ring with me too.
You are God's treasure. I want you to turn to the person next to you and say, you are God's treasure. Now find someone else and tell them, you are God's treasure. And now I want you to say, I am God's treasure. Say it again, I am God's treasure. God gave everything to find you, to make you clean again, to uncover your true eternal value that will never change. To everybody else, that boy was a write-off, disgusting, worthless, outside and in. But to his dad, he was just as loved as the first day he'd taken him in his arms. He just needed a really good wash inside and out, just like you. Jesus sees you past your bad mood, maybe even this morning, maybe even right now. He sees past your naughtiness, your fear, past those things you wish you hadn't done and said, or you wish other people hadn't done and said. He sees past your loneliness and sadness and anger. He sees you as the precious, one of a kind, beautiful treasure that he designed and loved and chose before the world began. Did you know the Bible actually says that? In a book called Ephesians, it says God chose you to be his child and loved you before the creation of the world. Isn't that amazing? You are God's most precious treasure, and he will never stop running to bring you home safely. Why? And when you experience his love for yourself, like that precious lost boy, he probably heard his dad loved him, but when he experienced it, it changed his life forever, like it did for me when I was 11 years old and I first experienced that myself. And every day since I first met the running God. Okay. So we're going to do a little activity now, everybody. Do you want me to lead this? Okay, great. We've got some bags around, and they have some beautiful gems inside, like the beautiful gem in my ring, okay? And we've got some amazing helpers are going to pass around the bag. So I want you to take just one, and pass it along so you've got a special gem. And grown-ups, if you've got little ones, just supervise them, okay, I would say, because they're quite small. A gem, so everybody gets to hold one little gem. Can we take some upstairs as well? Great, that's awesome. How are we doing? If you still don't have a gem, why don't you put your hand up? We've got loads. So has everybody got one of those little gems to hold in their hand? All right then. So, anybody not got a gem yet? Just give us a little wave. Oh, great, everybody's got one to hold. And helpers as well, make sure you get one too. Is there a spare one near here? Can I get one? Thank you, guys. Oh, thank you. Oh, I've got a nice green one. All right, so hold your gem up. I want you to take your hand and hold it in the palm of your hand, okay? You can have a little look at it if you want to, just precious. Okay. And I want you to say that thing again that we said a little while ago. I am Jesus' treasure. I am Jesus' treasure. Maybe just repeat it in your heart a few more times till it starts to maybe stick. I am Jesus' treasure. I am Jesus' treasure. I'm Jesus' treasure. And now I want you to try and use your amazing imagination that we've all been given to imagine that gem is like that little boy held in his father's arms. Okay. And now we're going to use those amazing imaginations again to imagine that we are the child held by someone safe and kind who loves you more than you can imagine. And while we do that, I'm going to say a prayer. And if you would like to, if you like what I pray and you think that it's right and you want to say it too, then you can say amen, which means we can do our big amen, which means I agree, or like, yeah, that's true. So just hold your gem in your hands. And I'm going to be quiet just for a few seconds, okay? And then I'm going to pray. I'm just going to ask Jesus to show you that he is running after you, ready to bring you home because you are his precious treasure. Jesus, I've heard that I'm your treasure, but sometimes, if I'm honest, I feel a bit like that ring in the chicken poo. I really want to be shiny and good, but I find that there's bad stuff hidden inside my heart. I am messy, and I need your help. And Jesus, like that ring, and like that boy, I can't clean myself. I can't save myself. Clean me, Jesus. Hold me, Jesus. Adopt me as your child. Bring me home to my Father God and teach me how to live as the treasure that you have made me. So let's just wait a few more seconds, okay? You might want to just tell Jesus whatever you want to tell him in your heart. And Lord, I pray that today, as everyone goes home today and maybe just remembers the chicken poo or the cream eggs or whatever, but Jesus, I pray that all of us would be reminded this week that you are the running God who will never stop running to bring us safe home. That nothing we could do or say would ever stop us being loved by you as your precious treasure. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Great job, everybody. I'm going to go wash my hands.
Thank you, Becca. Just give us a chance just to hold on to that thought as the band comes up. We're going to stand and we're going to sing our final song together. So please do stand.